Praise God. How you guys doing? Pretty good, huh? Man, sister, you got to bring the arroz con leche every Sunday. Everybody's happy. I see people smiling, you know. Fellowship is good. It really does warm my heart, I'll be honest with you. You know, one of the things we do is we like to break bread a lot. You know, since planting this church, I've gained 40 pounds, you know. But God is good. He's increasing, right? It's God's increasing, but I need to decrease a little bit. And also, there's some pastries in the back, you know. Thank you again, sister, for bringing those in. It really is a blessing, right? People just, you know, we don't even ask. People just volunteer. It's like, I just want to bless the church. And you know, it's so important. I'll be honest with you, because part of us, we have different, God calls us and puts different things in our hearts. And I just, you know, our thing here at the church is a very, I always say, it's very flat. If God puts it in your heart to do it, you know, we're not going to say, well, did you sign up? Did you ask for permission? No, a lot of it is like, hey, if God is calling you and telling you, say, hey, do it, you know what, let's do it. As long as we're in the Bible, we're good. So I just want to say thank you, sister, for just continuing. Honestly, it goes a long way. Because I could tell when I'm preaching and people's stomachs are empty. There's like 11:50, they're like, it could be quiet already. Like, yeah, already, just pray. Like, and sometimes in the back I hear a tiger and it's somebody's stomach, you know. So today I got you guys. You got a arroz con leche, you got pastries. God is good, amen? Yeah, so, well, I want to welcome you if that's your first time visiting, or, you know, for the church family, thank you for being here. We're in the middle of a teaching series called God With Us, right? And it's appropriate because it's Christmas, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? I don't know about you, I love Christmas. I love the decorations, I love the lights. We put up our Christmas tree the day after. Ours is early. We put up ours the day after Halloween. We don't celebrate it, but that's the day that you guys all know. So, November 1st, our Christmas tree is already up, right? It's just a great season because I love it. To be quite honest with you, I remember being a kid, just kind of staying up and watching the lights. You guys ever do that when you're a kid? Yes, isn't that great? So it's just something about the season. But even more so as Christians and believers, right? Because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We're not just celebrating the material stuff. You know, we're not celebrating the fact that our kids need more plastic. We're celebrating that we need a Savior, and He came, amen? And so that's what we're celebrating. And so last week we learned about how when God came, right, God with us and Jesus being with us, that we have what? We found His hope in Him. We found love in Him. Right? Because it was not the God that was out there. It was a God that he's not coaching you on the sideline saying, man, I hope it goes well for you. No, He gets in the game, right? He rolls up His sleeves. In fact, He sent His Son into a broken world so that we might be saved. So we might have a way back to a good and perfect Father, yes? And so that's what we're celebrating today. Today's message is God with us brings us joy. God with us brings us joy. And I don't know about you guys, how many of you guys have joy? The joy of the Lord is with you every day, amen? Only like 10 of you guys. The rest of you guys, what? Still kind of like making it, still deciding? No, the joy of the Lord, right, is my strength, yeah? But we have a lot of things, right? What are some of the things that bring you joy? Let me ask this side of what brings you some joy? A couple of things in the back. Grandkids bring you joy right here? Family brings you joy? What else? A burrito? Okay, that's good. What brings you joy on this side? Anybody? In the back? Grandkids, yeah? Anybody else? A clean house? Praise God, a clean house. I like that, sister. Right? What is it? The kids who listen. Man, praise God. Man, isn't that? There's a lot. That brings you joy, right? For me, you know, Sister Grace and Brother Stephen couldn't be here today. They already told us yesterday. Oh, you know what things that brings us joy, right? There's a little baby girl over here. She's in the back in my family. You see her there in the pink? Right? Right? Hi, Alani. Hola. So my sister and my brother-in-law, they send us little videos. I'll be at work busy, and then you play that, and she's doing something silly. She's dancing. And you know what it does immediately? It brings me joy, right? It brings us joy, right? I'm so glad that she's here. A little baby girl, Maya, that's in our church. Nia. I always call her Maya. That's why I need my wife right here. She's always correcting me. She's like, no, that's not that person's name. Nia. I always call her Maya. Because I grew up in the 90s. Remember there was a singer called Maya? Bring it back. Okay, she's already coaching me, right? Well, whenever I see her, it brings me joy too, right? Doesn't it? Something about babies and life brings you joy. So here at our house, we don't have babies. I wanted to have six. Not like I wanted to, but I wanted us to have six kids, right? But four is the limit. We're good. We're blessed. At our house, we have a new addition to our family. And so, Stephen, go ahead and throw that picture up of our newest addition to the family. All right. There he is. You can't quite see him. His name is Toby. Go to the next one. Aw. See? Aw. He's like... the next one. So the not dog lovers are like, Charlie. Like, but the dog lovers are like, oh, right? There he is. Okay, he's all handsome in his sweater. So babies and puppies, right? They bring natural joy. And this little puppy, right? As soon as we get home, he's there waiting for me. He's just like looking at me. And he just wants love. Right? He's just like a baby. And so that's as of late, right, for us, that's a little, I mean, I have joy in our house all the time. But this is an extra special one. And then, you know, sometimes my wife took him to work. Oh, and she was like a movie star. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, he's going to bring me the puppy and all that kind of stuff. And he even, so the true story, they're having a Christmas party. And guess what? They're like, we're inviting you. And make sure you bring your husband. No, make sure you bring the dog. What the heck? They didn't even think about me. He's going to be the special guest. We even have a little vest for him and everything. I was like, how about me? Perro solo yo. My sister gets that one. But anyway, we have a lot. Those are little things in life that bring us joy, yeah? But what about things when things are not going well? What about like when you have, maybe when you're not feeling so well, right? Maybe when you got some pain in the arm, right, brother? Maybe when things are happening in your life, right, you're going through a little bit of a battle, a little bit of a storm, right? Things are not great at work. You're having challenges. You might have financial challenges. You might have relationship challenges. You might have, where's the joy then? It can be hard. I'll be honest with you, right? We didn't come here just to say like, yeah, joy, woohoo, always. I'm going to do a Mario spin. Yeah. Yes. We can't fake that, right? Because sometimes life, man, sometimes life just gets you in a headlock, doesn't it? Sometimes life just wants to get you in a headlock, knocks you down, and then kicks you still. Right? And then we always say, where's your joy then, Christian? Where's your joy there, sister and brother? Right? But here's the thing is that, listen, what we're going to learn about today is that joy, right, when we dig into it and we realize it, right, you have to look for it. You have to find it. And let me just tell you, you even have to choose it. That's what we're going to be starting today, okay? So let's get into the Word. We're going to be reading out of Luke 1. Luke 1, and this is a very familiar passage. For those of you that went to the Nativity movie yesterday, thank you guys for coming. I had a blessed time, honestly. I had a really good turnout. I enjoyed the movie. If you haven't watched it, you know, I think it's on. They're probably going to stream it. It was, it's online. It's from David Jeremiah. His ministry is Turning Point. I listen to him a lot. He plays, his sermons play like on 11:30 a.m. or 99.9. Or just look for him. It's Turning Point Ministries. His church is down in San Diego. But they did a great job just narrating him, actually just talking about the scriptures and then giving you the visuals behind it. And so it's fitting that that's what we're going to be studying a lot today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be reading a lot because, listen, there's some power in my word, a little bit, like that much. But there's a lot of power in God's word, amen? So we like to read big chunks of scripture here, not just like one verse, and then you hear me make up all kinds of stuff about it. No. We like to read big chunks, and then we'll break it down a little bit. Sound good? All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, In the time of Herod, Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was Elizabeth, who was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the decrees and commands, blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Say that with me. They were both very old, right? And once When Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as before God, he was chosen by law, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying. Pay attention. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will have gold, fabulous curly hair, and he'll be super handsome." Oh no, that's just our John. That's just our John. Pay attention. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn their hearts towards the people towards their children and the obedience to the wisdom of the righteousness to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked, How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is along in years. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe the words which will come true in their appointed time." Amen? Man, that's a lot, right? Some of you guys reading that passage of Scripture, and you're like, "I've never seen that passage right there." Some of the wives were like, "I wish Gabriel would show up right next to my husband right now. I don't want him to speak. His voice, he's been irritating me as of late." No, that's a different message. And then the marriage counseling sign up is in the back, okay? We'll talk about that. But what's happened is a lot happening here, right? Because number one, the first thing I want you to point out in this passage of Scripture, and it's the first point in your fill in the blank, says that God with us brings joy into our waiting. God with us brings joy into our waiting. How many of you guys like to wait? Right? Man, isn't that like, you guys, how many of you guys are like, you guys order stuff on Amazon and if it's not Prime next day, you won't even order it? That's how like, you're like, "Oh, if it's not next day, I gotta wait 3 days? That's awful." Right? That you guys, that's my, what are we looking at as, "Oh, is that Prime? Tomorrow? Today? Man, even better." We hate waiting, right? We want it now. We hate waiting and we want it now. But guess what? This is what's happening in the passage of Scripture. Right? Zechariah was a priest. He was in the temple doing his job. And then an angel appears to him. Now, at the very beginning, it tells us what? They're both of the line of Aaron. They're blameless. They were doing everything that God had them do. And he was even a priest. Right? But guess what was happening? They were doing everything right that they were supposed to do in their religion. It says they followed all the decrees and they were blameless and righteous. You guys remember that? But it says what? Right in the first verse. Actually, I think it's verse 7. It says, verse 7 says, "But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old." Right? And when I told you guys earlier, what brings you joy? A lot of it was around grandchildren. Children, right? Think about that time. Everything was about the family. Now, the custom was that they would have been married, what, 14, 15? They would have been married. Now they are older. And when you're reading that, you might skip that to say, "Oh yeah, she couldn't have kids." Think about what she must have felt, right? Because in that custom, in that time, if you couldn't have kids, it was what? It was a shame. It was a disgrace. It was an embarrassment, right? It's like, imagine her life, right? She gets married, she's 14, 15, she's like, "Man, I'm in love with Zechariah, he's handsome, his hair is all curly like John's, he's so cute, like, I love him," right? That's how she was talking to her girls that way. I don't know why she talked like a chola, but like, that's the way maybe she was more polite, like she was, "Man, I love him, like, he's my man," like, and then all of a sudden they get married, right? And then what happens, right? They start coming to the parties and like, you pregnant? Like, what's going on? Like, you don't have, and then maybe she does, right? Maybe she does it, and she loses the baby. And think about years and years and years. And sometimes in your own life, some of you guys might know, like, man, if they ask me one more time when I'm going to get married, and ask me one more time when I get pregnant, man, I'm going to punch somebody in the face. You guys know what I'm saying? Right? You almost like, just mind your own business. Go talk about somebody else. Right? Nobody here, right? We always say, if we're going to gossip, we're going to be gossiping, we're going to be what? Gossip about the gospel, right? But imagine her whole life being that way. The shame of not being able to have a child. The just how she felt inside. But she was still doing what God has called her to do. And she was still blameless and righteous, right? Listen, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer right away. God answers our prayers in different ways. And if you're in that season right now of waiting, hold on. God is good. Listen, the span of our life is not like, sometimes it's like, I need it now, I need it now. It's like, that's not the way that God operates, right? His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. And we have to what? Trust him. And find the joy that we have in knowing that God has us, that God knows us, that God sees us. We're not just here by accident. We learned last week that God is not the God of out there, that he's the God that comes, that he gets involved, that he loves and he cares. And that's our God. So if you're in the season of waiting right now, we're going to have to dig a little bit more and understand that knowing that we're with God brings us joy. Right? Knowing that we're with the one that loves us brings us joy. Listen, at the end of the day, some of us that are older and up in age, right? Our hair is falling out, get a little heavier. We've all tried, and everybody in here, we tried to build a mini little kingdom here. I don't care if you're not raising your hand, if you don't be, it's okay. There'll be time for you to repent later, right? Everybody in here, we're always trying to strive for something, right? God is not against that. He's not. But at the end of the day, as I look, what brings me the most joy, or the things that I treasure the most, are the people that I love, and the people that love me. And it doesn't matter about all these things, right? The car and the house and the whatever, the job and the degrees. At the end of the day, nobody cares about those things, really. Right? What brings us joy is the relationship. It's the people. And so we have to make a decision that, listen, we might not be happy with the circumstance. I can guarantee you that Zechariah wasn't happy with the circumstance. I guarantee you that Elizabeth wasn't happy with the circumstance. But what? You have to find your joy in the Lord. Amen? Because God is with us. God is with us. Right? So we have to, right, bring joy into the waiting. Because listen, sometimes also, you might be asking for something, you might be waiting for something, and the thing you're asking for is a thing that you don't need. Right? God has a better plan. And sometimes it just means wait a little bit. Wait a little bit, because I have something better for you. So just be reminded of who you're waiting on. You're waiting on God, right? Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Right? Say that with me. We will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen? And that's when you're walking with God. Like, God has me and I have God. I'm good. You know? Like, some of you guys post on Instagram and you're all looking to see, nobody hearted it. On your Facebook, nobody hearted my post. You know? Did that happen to you guys? Come on, I know. But you know what, man? Jesus loves you already. Jesus hearts you. Let me just say that. When you're looking at your Instagram all sad, or your Facebook all sad, nobody hearted it, Jesus hearts you. That's it. I give you permission. You're good. You don't have to stress out. Jesus loves you already. God loves you already. Amen? And he walks with us. So listen, brothers and sisters, we got to trust that God is with us even when our prayers don't feel like when they're unanswered. Even when it seems like God is silent. And we got to let our joy, right, come from the presence of God. Not just from what he provides. We don't want to be those people. You know those people? They only come around you when you're like trading. They only come around you buying. That's not for me. You don't need those kind of people in your life. Like, man, I got enough moochers in my life. Get out of here. Shoot. You don't want to be like that to God, do you? Oh, God, you're so good when things are good. But when things are not so good, forget, huh? No, we need to be happy with God, the giver. Not just be fall in love with what he's giving, the provision. Does that make sense? Our joy doesn't come when the waiting ends, right? It comes in realizing that God is with us in the waiting. Amen? Let's keep reading. We're going to be in 26 now. 26 through 45. I told you to read a lot. Verse 26 is, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Man, isn't that awesome? Man, wouldn't that be great? Like if you were just like washing the dishes and suddenly, "Greetings, you who are favored." The Lord is with you. Amen? That'd be awesome. I'd love to see that. Mary, now my wife's going to say, "I want to see you washing dishes." That's what I want to see. I wash them sometimes. Yeah. Praise God, an answer prayer. It could happen. Let's keep praying. Mary was greatly troubled with his words and went, "Well, what kind of greeting this might be?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Man, this is like, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Say it like that. Forever, like the Sandlot, forever. Yeah, that's right. His kingdom will never end. "How would this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who said was unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Amen? Man, highlight that one. "For no word of God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." And then the angel left. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town, to the hill in the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, this is John, leapt in the womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And as soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Amen? Man, isn't God good? And sometimes when you just go through it, man, get into the word, read it again, the other parts, those promises are not just to them, there's a promise to you as well. But what we find out here, the second point in this passage that we just read, is that Jesus is the source of our joy. Jesus is the source of our joy. Amen? What we see here is that, yes, in John 1:14, it says that there was joy, right? That he will be a delight. You guys saw that? That he will be a delight to you. Gabriel said that too. Zechariah and to Elizabeth. You guys remember that? They're talking about John. Because John had a mission. John was what? To prepare the way for the Lord. He had a mission. And so obviously there was great joy in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life because they had a baby. And his name was John. And he was a delight to them. What we see in verse 44, right? Is that the baby himself rejoices. You guys see that? Isn't that awesome? Baby himself rejoices, right? As soon as the sound of your ears, of your greeting reached my, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, right? Because guess what? Jesus, he knows. That's awesome. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now for you, you're like, well, what does that mean to me? I'm not pregnant, or people aren't coming to my house and all kinds of stuff. But listen, you know, something's leaping for joy. No. Jesus has already come, right? For you, the gift is already given. The gift is, you just have to go and receive. You have to accept. You have to say yes. So Jesus is the source of our joy, right? Because if I focus on all the drama that's happened in my life, if I focus on all my problems, you think that I'm going to find joy in that? No, right? You're going to find what you're looking for. You're going to find what you're looking for. If you're looking for all the flaws, let me jump into the relationship category a little bit. If you're looking for all the flaws and you're looking for perfection, you're not going to find them. Right? If you find the perfect person, leave them alone because you're going to mess them up. Just like if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it because you're going to mess it up too. Right? Yeah? There's no perfect people. All of us are flawed. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. But we'll be so quick to criticize the little thing, right? Death by a thousand socks that you didn't pick up. The dishes you didn't wash. Man, this is like I'm preaching a message to myself today. No, my wife loves me. You know, truly loves me. But sometimes things happen, right? Little things happen. The things that your family, that your friends do that drive you crazy. Like, if you do that one more time. Yeah? See how I practice with that? You're like, your eye starts twitching. Things that your family does that sometimes drive you crazy. But guess what? You have to choose. You can look at all the little things that don't, and if people look at you that way, what are they going to find? They're going to find all your imperfections too, right? We have to choose. And we get to choose Jesus, right? And we get to choose that God is with us and that Jesus is the source of my joy. Listen to me well. And this is for the young people in the room, especially. Or the people who are still kind of, you know, whatever's happening in your relationship status, right? I'm just being honest with you. If you're looking for the fullness and the joy in somebody else, you're going to always be dissatisfied, right? We were made for worship with God first. And we will find ourselves in God, and then we find ourselves that has already found their identity in Jesus Christ. When that brings the two of you together, man, that is awesome, right? The culture will sometimes preach to you and talk to you about this magical thing. You know, I'm going to another confession right here. I love Christmas, not just for the Christmas. Oh, man, I love me some Christmas romance movies. You'll see me on Netflix. I'm watching all of them. Prime, I'm there. I love it. And sometimes, we watched one last night. I was like, that one was all right. Oh, I loved that one. That one was good. You know, and it's always, right? Amen. That's right. Hey, somebody get their kid. But I love the romance part of it, right? But what I'm saying is that, okay, that's fine. The romance that you fall in love. Oh, they met and the mistletoe and they kissed and it was all romantic. That's what you see. And that's the movies, guys. That's not real life. Right? When we find ourselves in God first and God tells me, man, I made you in my image and my likeness. Man, I've gifted you. I love you. I chose you. I sent my son to die for you. I find myself in who I am and says, man, God, I worship you. I love you. Right? Then when I come to my wife, man, I'm already full because Jesus loves me. And guess what? Then I look at her. It's like, oh, you love me too. Yeah. Right? And isn't that different? Isn't that different when I come full? I already know that I'm choosing the joy of Jesus first and that I'm worshiping God first and that she's worshiping God first. When we come together, it's like, okay, I'm not like nitpicking, like whatever. You know, does that make sense? I'm full already. And then God brings me together to complete me, the oneness of who God brings to me, which is my wife. And so young people, pay attention, right? The Hallmark movies and the Prime movies and the Netflix movies, there's like, the one true love, they're out there somewhere. Where are they? Right? No. Your one true love is Jesus, and he's come. And then we're full with him. And then God brings us, right? Then we're prepared. Then we're ready. That makes sense? So we find our joy in Jesus Christ first. Although, man, if you want to invite me over to watch some Netflix and some Prime with you, and watch your Christmas movies, I will be there. That's his story. Because listen, at the end of the day, right, joy is about relationships. It's about when you see your grandkids coming in the room. It's about when you see your children, the person that you love, coming in the room. When you see the video of the baby girl, right, you see joy. It's relationship. It's not about things. So our task, right, what are we learning is that we have to shift our joy, not from the circumstance, not our life and our joy is not built on circumstances, it's built on Jesus Christ. It's built on God being with us. Let's keep reading. This will be the last chunk of scripture we're going to read. Verse 46. Yours probably has a title, Mary's Song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their most inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers and their thrones and has built. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. But he has sent the rich away empty. He has emptied. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then she returned home. Man, that's a beautiful, that's called Mary's Song, right? She's worshiping God. She's worshiping God, and guess what? Was she worshiping God in like, it was, you think it was a high in her life? Some of us, I went to go watch the Nativity movie, we know what was happening to her. She was already with child, right? And she was worshiping, and she's saying, "I'm going to sing this song. God is good to me. God is good to me." What's happening in her personal life? She's being ridiculed and made fun of, right? She was going to be married to Joseph, and they knew that they weren't supposed to be together, right, until after they were married. Now, Joseph is put in a funny spot, too, because imagine, Mary comes to him and says, "I'm with child, Holy Spirit, El Espíritu Santo." And Joseph's probably like, "His name is Santos? Where's that guy? I need to find him." Right? That's a hard one to believe for Joseph, yeah? Yeah. Where's this Santos at? I got to give him a piece of my fist. But an angel comes to Joseph, right? And tells him what happens. And then he takes her as his wife. You guys remember that? Of course you guys do. You guys are the smartest and the most beautiful church in all of Sangre, California. So, of course you guys know that. But what's happening here, right, is that Mary has a decision to make. She's not letting her circumstance determine the size of her praise. She's just remembering that she's blessed and that God has chosen her. God has chosen her to give birth to the Son, right? Now listen, you might not be chosen to carry Jesus. You might be chosen to be carrying something else right now. You might be chosen to be carrying a cross, a burden, a trial that's happened in your life. But guess what? That situation and circumstances shouldn't determine the size of your praise. That just determines how you choose, right? You're choosing Jesus first in that situation, that circumstance. So we let our gratitude, right, our thankfulness is what she's doing, just reign over her life. Every one of us in here has reasons to be dissatisfied. Every one of us. But we have to make a choice with God, with our job, with our relationship, with our kids, with our circumstances, with our stepkids, with whatever's happening in your life, right? I'm just being honest. You have to choose God first. The fourth point, right, the thing that we're going to read here is that the joy of God with us overcomes our current circumstances. The joy of God with us overcomes our current circumstances. We get to choose. Joy isn't waiting, right, for your bills to be paid. Joy isn't waiting for you to win the Powerball. I know. Did you guys win? Me secretly, later. Right? It's trusting that God is working behind the scenes because you know who's in charge. It's like when you don't get your order right at the restaurant, what do you do? You get mad, huh? "I didn't order this. I want to talk to your manager." You even say it like that. "I want to talk to your manager." And then be careful because you might get famous on TikTok. Don't be that kind of person. You wouldn't be the Karen Christian over there. We don't want that. But you're trusting the person that's in charge. Yes. Why do you ask for the supervisor? Why do you ask for the manager? Because you want to trust the person that's in charge. They're going to do something about it. So your circumstance might not be great, but you got to trust God, yes? He's in charge. And number four, what we learn in this whole passage is that joy is a choice by remembering that God is with you. That joy is a choice by remembering that God is with you. In verse 45 and 6, she says, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And that's your verse. That's my verse, right? Sometimes when you read it, you think it's just Mary. No, that verse is for you. All of this is for you, right? It's God's word spoken. And so you might be going through the struggle right now, and you need to tell yourself, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. You might find yourself in a pretty humble state right now, right? You might find yourself with a bad diagnosis, bank account is on zero, maybe negative even, gas tank is on E, right? God is good, guys. That's what I'm saying. I heard some amens over here. The young people are like, yep, gas is always on E. Right? Glorify the Lord. Our spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That's what the message is about. You have to choose joy. You have to choose it. So it's not always going to come find you and tackle you. No, you got to find it. You got to look for it. Wake up every morning and give thanks to God. You know, we went to a conference about 6 years back, maybe longer than that, 8 years back. But one of the speakers on the panel is Kay Warren. You guys know her? Her husband is Rick Warren. They pastor a big church down in Southern California. About 30,000 people go to that church. And she wrote a book called Choose Joy. I don't know if you guys remember that. About 12 years back, her son, Matthew, right, their son, Matthew, 27, he dealt with mental health issues his whole life, depression, anxiety, different things. And then one of the days they got a phone call, and they were afraid because they were trying to reach him, and they couldn't get him. And it was at that point they did a wellness check. They called the police. Said, "Can you please check on our son? We haven't heard from him this amount of time." And sure enough, what they found, the police called him back. Heartbreaking news, right? The thing that they were afraid of the most, and their son committed suicide at the age of 27, at the prime of his life, right? And it broke their hearts. And she's going and she's telling us, because people sometimes will say, like, man, you might not be in the best place. You might have this relationship thing. You might have this thing going on with your kids. She was sharing her heart. She says, listen, at that moment of time, we rushed over there and Rick and I were in the driveway and they're crying. And they said, what do we do? What can we do? What can we do? And she quoted this. She says, we're going to have to choose joy. We're going to have to choose the joy of the Lord right now. In my greatest pain, in my greatest heartbreak, we have to choose joy. So I don't know where you're at right now. She shared that testimony to give us, say, we probably aren't there. We might be in a storm. We might be facing some kind of issue. But she was giving us witness to say, listen, despite all of it, God is still good. You can choose joy in your storm. You can choose joy in the heartache, right? Because our joy comes from the Lord. Amen? And that's the Jesus that we celebrate. When we gather to worship, we're not worshiping plastic and wrappings and good food. Yeah, that's all good. We're gathering to thank God that he has come, and that he saved us. And don't you forget that God is with you every single day. Because Jesus has come. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us the opportunity to choose joy. So this morning, Lord God, no matter what's happening, Lord, I always say, when there's a room gathered and there's 10 or more people, there's somebody that's going through something. Lord, even statistically, one person in here is going through a clinical depression probably right now. But Lord God, you are the healer. You are the provider, Lord God. We can find our joy. We find ourselves in you. So Father God, my prayer right now is for every person that is here and every person that might be hurting, Lord God, that they would seek you out with all their heart.
Lord, your word tells us that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you, Lord God. And so we need to keep seeking, Lord God. We need to find your joy, Lord God. Maybe even our walk, we feel like it's stale. Lord, keep seeking, Lord God. Put us in a desire in our heart, Lord God, that we need to find you again. We need to fall in love with you again. Let it be this season, Lord God. As we're celebrating Christmas, Lord God, and as we're getting into the Word, that the Word comes to life, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if that's you this morning, say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Savior. If he's knocking in your heart, say yes. Let him in. The world is always going to tell us that we're not enough, not sufficient, and we look a certain kind of way, but who cares what the world says? We care about what Jesus says. God of the universe says that he loves you. And the God of the universe says that you are, come as you are. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, our lives are transformed. If you want to know more about Jesus, you want to make that decision, come see me after service. Or just accept Jesus right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. I want to give my life to you because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need joy in my life, and that only comes by knowing you. So come into my heart and help me to live for you from this day forward. And for the rest of us, Lord God, if we're believing, let's believe in that promise that he has come, that he is good, and that joy is available to us every single day, Lord God, by reaching out, by praying, by repenting, by turning away, Lord God, by being connected to the body of believers. We can find joy in you, Lord Jesus. Continue to walk with us, Lord God. And collectively as a church, if there's something that is getting in the way of our walk, Lord, get rid of it, Lord God. Help us to prune, Lord God. Whether it's things we're watching, Lord, relationships, things that we need to, we might be in a season of pruning, Lord God. Like here in the valley is a season of pruning. Because you want something better, Lord God. You want to grow the fruits of the Spirit in our life. So, Lord God, even though it might hurt, Lord, prune what you need to do. Help us to be more in your image and your likeness, Lord God, by connectedness to you. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for this time that you've given us, Lord God. Continue to bless us, watch over us, Lord God. Help us to focus on your love and the hope and the peace and the joy that we find only in you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Keep us safe. Minister to our hearts and our situations, Lord God. They are real. The pain that we feel, the challenges that we feel, Lord, we're not just here to go superficial. We want to go deep, Lord God, with you first and with each other, Lord. You brought us together to encourage one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to support one another, Lord God. And that means being vulnerable first to you and vulnerable to each other. Lord, you didn't call us, Lord God, to walk around masks and different things. I'm good. No, you called us to be real and authentic and to worship to you in our fellowship with brothers and sisters, Lord. So thank you again for the life of this church. Help us continue to glorify you, Lord God. Help us continue to invite. Lord, help us to reach the mission and the vision that you have for us, Lord God, which is to know you more, Lord God, and to make you known. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.